Bart said, our new sermon series is on relationships, and I thought specifically since, you know, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and for those of you guys who forgot and just realized that right now, you might really need this. but, you know, even if you've been married for a long time and you think things are going pretty good, you sometimes need a tune-up, right? You know, like your car, after a while it starts running rough. You need to give it some attention. Excuse me. Sometimes our marriages need that. And so that's what I want to do this morning and probably for the next few weeks. Just focus on some truths from the Word of God when it comes to the marital relationship and how women and men are to behave and to treat each other in that. What I'm going to go through today and probably finish next week is actually the very first sheet that I go through with couples and premarital counseling. Now, so, you know, I see some people looking at each other. It's like, man, we've got this down already. But it's been a few months, so even you might need to go through this again. It's a sheet called Purposes of Partners in Marriage. You know, why did God bring men and women together in the first place? You know, I think back to Adam and Eve, and when God put Adam to sleep and took a rib out of him and made Eve, and you know, his first interaction with her, he doesn't seem to be too disappointed. He's pretty excited about what God has made for him. You know, and as husbands and wives, are we that excited about the gift that God has given to us? Well, the first thing I want to do it's called the role of the wife. Don't worry, I'm going to get to the husbands. But the role of the wife, and Jeff, you want to put that first slide up there? Yes, I know. I'm just taking the Band-Aid off right here. Submission. Now, we've talked about this before. And look at what that says. Submission. Willingly put yourself in a dependent position, not a position of one who is conquered. Not in the position of one who is conquered. Some people have a really twisted view on what this means. Look what it says there in Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. It's actually a beautiful thing. And actually, if you look at the verse right before it, it calls believers to be subject to one another. And then the next thing it says is this. Now, we'll get to the husbands in a minute, so I just don't want to dive into that. But what does it mean to submit? It means to willingly come under another to support them and lift them up. As believers in Christ, we are to submit to Christ. Why? Because we come under him and we want people to see him. We want him to be glorified. We recognize the position that he has in our lives. Submission is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. But it does not mean that the husband is Lord and Master, and that he is the dictator in the home. If that is how you view this, you are absolutely, unequivocally wrong. That is not what this means. And we'll get to some of that in a minute. That means that she recognizes the incredible responsibility that God has given to her husband, and she wants to do everything she can to support him and encourage him in that role. And the reason that I think this is so important is because if you go back in Genesis chapter 3, and I don't have that on the screen, Genesis chapter 3, after the fall, God is actually giving them, you know, the curse. And one of the things he said is, if I can find it here, in verse 16, it says, "To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And people say, well, see, God is saying that the man, he's supposed to be the ruler and lord and master, and that the wife, is she's supposed to just be under him. That is not what this is saying. Do you realize this is the curse? What he's saying here is that the husband's, the thing he's going to have to fight against, as everything else in the curse is, he's going to have to fight against being overly dominant of his wife. And she has to fight against wanting to take away his position of leadership and responsibility. She wants to usurp that, and he wants to. So you got two people wanting to do this. And God is saying, that is not how I created you. This is part of the curse. And as believers in Christ, we have to fight against that. See, people look at the men saying, he shall rule over you, as being positive. It's not. Why would that be a positive when nothing else in the curse is? Think about that. Husbands and wives, the man has leadership. He had that before. He had leadership before. He failed, by the way. Failed miserably. People, the woman, she's the responsible for mankind being in sin. Oh, really? That's not what God says. Who is the one responsible? Who passes on the sin nature to the children? The man does. Why? Because he, in theological circles, is called the federal head. Adam failed. Yes, she sinned. She was deceived. Adam was standing right there. He grabbed the fruit. He ate and cast and put us all under the sin nature. And the curse is a result of that. It says, cursed is the ground because of you. And you have to toil and sweat and do all those things. And we as men and women of God have to understand that what happened when Jesus Christ came and transformed us because of the precious gift of his Son and our acceptance of him, we are called to live radically different than people who are under the curse. And here's where it begins, with the husband and wife relationship and the wife realizing, you know what, my husband's the leader. I'm going to support him in that because God holds him responsible. And I'm going to do all I can to fight against my natural inclination to take the leadership away from him. And I'm going to encourage him and support him as best I can. Does that change things for you and how people look at it? This is a beautiful thing. All right, the next one, this was kind of funny. Silence. Here's the thing. If your husband is living a life of disobedience to God, nagging him about it will not change him. Do you know this is in the Bible? Look at this. 1 Peter 3:1 through 4. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, there's the key. If they're not living the way God commands them to live, if they're living a disobedient life, What do? Nag them about it? Does that ever work? No. Why? Because we're ornery. Well, you're not supposed to agree with that, Paul. We're ornery. He says, if they're disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And then he talks about your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses. He's not saying those are bad things. He's saying, look, you need to spend way more attention focusing on the inside than you do on the outside. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. You know what he's saying here? If wives, if your husband is not following the Lord, it is not your job to be the Holy Spirit in his life. You show him godliness and let the Spirit of God work on him. And he's a whole lot better at it than you are. But, you know, what's our natural inclination? You know, men do this too. Guys can be naggers as well, can't we? No, we never do that. But it's like, look, the best way is to model godliness and let God work on them. And then this next part, I'm going to get to Proverbs 31. Actually, I'm going to have a whole sermon on Proverbs 31 man and the Proverbs 31 woman. Wait a minute, Proverbs 31 man, yes, there's a guy in that passage. We're going to look at him too. Showing her character and her resourcefulness. And we just saw 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4, her character. Showing her character and her resourcefulness. In Proverbs 31, there's an amazing, amazing passage. And I think when we look at that, we will see it totally different than how it's normally looked at. All right, guys, you ready? The role of the husband. Leadership of his wife. What kind of leadership is it? Well, what does it say there? Servant leadership. And look, there's verse 23 again. Husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Now here, look at this. He himself being the Savior of the body. And here's the connection to this verse I'm going to show you about servant leadership. Look at this, these verses, Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28. He's talking to them about, you know, the rulers of the world lord it over the people under them. And he says, look, it's not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, look at this, and to give his life a ransom for many. Did you see this? In this verse, he himself being the Savior of the body, how did he do that? By giving his life a ransom for many. He's called the man to be the leader in the home, and what kind of leader? The only kind of leadership that God ever presents is servant leadership, not top-down domineering leadership. Men, God has called you to an amazing, amazing responsibility. That is to lead your wife. And you know how you do that? By serving her. And by the way, you know what she's doing? She's also serving you. So you got two people trying to outserve each other in the home, not two people trying to take over. That's how God designed it. Look at that. The Son of Man, the very man, God-man, says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He's saying, that's what you're supposed to do. Isn't that powerful? Our Savior did that for us. Look at this role. Supposed to love his wife. And then, you know, as Christ loved the church, oh, that's an easy one, right? Wow. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then I skipped to verse 28. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. How did Christ love the church? Think about this. The Jewish people, what were they looking for in their Messiah? They were looking for a king. That's what they were looking for. Now, sometimes guys act like they're the king of the home. Like, man's home is his castle. No, that's a place of service. I want you to look at it that way. You know why? Because husbands, you are to love your wives. Even if you don't like them very much at the time. Is there ever a time when that happens? I mean, we are always just this harmonious, loving couple that we just, you know, we're going through the tulips and all that. No! Sometimes we're both ornery, right? Yeah. Even if you're in a rotten mood. I don't know, we never wake up that way, right? Sometimes it carries on most of the day or a week or 2 years. sorry. That doesn't matter. What are we supposed to do? Love your wives. It's not optional. It doesn't say if you feel like it. And you do it as Christ loved the church. You know what? When he gave his life up for the church, was there a church? No. He died so there could be a church. There wouldn't be one without that. And he's saying, guys, you love your wives. As you know, and this is under the inspiration of God. God is telling us, you love your wives like I loved you and still love you. What was our position? We were enemies of God. Read Romans. We were pretty awful. And God loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know what that word agape there? We talk about that a lot. The word agape, that means God decided he was going to love us because that's consistent with his character, with who he is. He is love, therefore he had to act. He loved us even when we were rotten. We were his enemies. He says, look, even when your wife may not be in the best mood, even when you're not in the best mood, even when, doesn't matter, there's no exception clause, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Period, end of discussion, that's what it means. Are you considering how you can love your wife? You need to do that. How can I serve her? How can I love her? How can I communicate love to her in a way that she can understand? And understanding, oh, that's interesting. Let's look at the next one. Living in wisdom. Yes, it says understand and honor your wife. How many? Not possible, right? You know, there's that old joke about the guy that, you know, he rubbed a lamp and he got one wish. And his wish was, I don't like to fly, and I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. So can you build me a bridge to Hawaii? And the genie is like, build a bridge to Hawaii? Do you know how far that is and all the what goes into that? And, you know, he is really going on and on. He said, wish for something else. And the guy says, well, I want to be able to understand my wife. And he says, you want that bridge two lanes or four? Now, we joke about that. But what does it say? You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. As with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Look, there's something right there. If you don't do this, God says, look, you want me to listen to you, you better treat your wife the way I've commanded you. Guys say, I can't understand my wife. You know what? You get a lifetime of trying to figure out this great gift God has given to you. She doesn't think like you. You know, with the old joke, you know, guys wonder what their wives are thinking, and women wonder what their men are thinking, or if their men are thinking, I should say. It says, by the way, this is the same. Did you notice 1 Peter 3? We just looked at 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4. It actually goes through verses 5 and 6, talking about how the women are to behave. And then it says, you husbands, in the same way. Remember, it said, very beginning of this passage, said women are, wives, be in submission to your husbands. Husbands, in the same way. We'll get to that in a minute. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Yes, they don't think like you. That's good. Why would you want to marry someone who thinks like you? Half the time, we don't even think. But look, in an understanding way, wow, you get to know her. And to know what she's going to, how she's going to respond to things. You know, this is exciting. And he says, don't put that down. God created her that way. And it says, as with someone weaker. It doesn't mean that she's lesser than you. It's someone who's, you're to treat as precious. I've used this illustration before. If you have a plastic cup and a crystal goblet, they both do the same thing, right? But do you treat them the same? Why not? Would you hand the expensive crystal goblet to your two-year-old? No, why? Because it's precious to you. It's something you want to keep intact. You want to honor it, in that sense, I guess. You want that goblet. It's a weaker vessel, but it's more precious. It's more valuable. Guys, do you treat your spouse as someone who's incredibly valuable to you? She's weaker since she is a woman. That's not a put down. As some guys put it, she's someone that you need to honor. And it says that. With someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor. Guys, do we honor our wives? We have to. We get to. She's a precious gift from God to us. And she's a fellow heir of the grace of life. And it goes back to the warning there. If you don't do that, don't expect God to really be listening. Your prayers are going to be hindered. Your relationship with God, your vital lifeline to God, is in jeopardy. Not that you're losing your salvation. This is serious. I ran into this quote from John MacArthur just this morning. Submission is the responsibility of a Christian husband as well. Though not submitting to his wife as a leader, a believing husband must submit to the loving duty of being sensitive to the needs, fears, and feelings of his wife. In other words, a Christian husband needs to subordinate his needs to hers. You know why? Because she's to subordinate her needs to yours. It goes both ways. We're to submit to each other in the fear of Christ. How we do that as men, as we are loving leaders, servants in the home. You've heard me, you know, those of you who have heard my preaching for a long time, you know when we went through Ephesians, you've got the wife coming under the husband to build him up and support him and encourage him in his leadership role, and you've got the husband saying, I want to love you and serve you as Christ loved the church and served him, gave his life up for it. You got two people trying to outserve each other, trying to outlove each other, trying to out-honor each other. Who wouldn't want to live in that? That's beautiful. It is awesome. That's how God designed it. Two people who love God passionately with all of their heart and who love and honor each other the same way. And it's amazing. And if we settle for anything less, we are in defiance of our Savior. I'll say that again. If we do anything less, if we settle for anything less, we're in defiance of our Savior. That's what He's commanded us to do, but it's what we should want to do. As children of God. Now we've only gotten halfway through this purposes of partners in marriage. Next week, we're going to look at the role of the husband and wife together, as well as six individual needs that men and women have. We'll spend that. So it's going to be, there's some things on there. Some of those that went through premarital counseling with me can tell you there's some things on there that you do not expect that you have as a need. But you'll have to come back next week to see that and learn that. You know, and if you can't come here next week, it'll be online. So you can check it out. You know, here's what I don't want you to do. You know, like, you can edit sections and just have that playing in the house for your spouse. You know, okay, don't do that, because that would fall under the nagging clause. you know, and hopefully that is, you know, and true in my home as well. Reminding ourselves. But we need these reminders, don't we? Because what God has called us to, if you've been called to marriage, it is a wonderful thing that we get to enjoy. And for those that are single, why is it important for you to know this? Well, you may get married someday, but even if you don't, you've got friends that are married, and they might need to hear this. They might need to be reminded of this. When people get together and they're not with their spouse, what do they tend to do sometimes? They start gossiping about their spouse. Don't do that. If someone starts to do that around you, and they're a brother or sister in Christ, you put an end to it right now. because that's dishonoring to them. Well, that doesn't mean they can't come and pour their heart out to you. That's different. But if they just are getting together in a group and just start dumping on their spouses, don't do that. But there are times when you need just counsel from somebody, and that's different, where they'll keep it close and not spread it around. There's times for that. We all need that sometimes. And believe it or not, your spouse might need it sometimes. But guys, I want to call you to something so much greater that God has created. He is the instigator of marriage, and He did it for our good and for our benefit. And we need to live up to the high standard that He's called us to. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for what You have done in creating men and women so unique, so different, and so special. Lord, the world just doesn't understand what You have done. They don't get it. But Lord, we as believers in Christ, we should rejoice in what You've created and want to follow Your plan for marriage as best we can, so that we can give all honor and glory back to You. And Lord, we thank You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.